I want to talk to you on the subject today of ABC.
Okay.
ABC. And campus pastors aren't allowed to answer this, but anybody but a campus pastor can answer. What might that stand for? It's a skill that sets the best communicators apart from the mediocre communicators. It's a skill that sets the most creative people apart from those who just have ideas. It's a skill that sets leaders apart from those who just follow. ABC. Any ideas? Always bring clarity would be a good one. I could totally teach on that. I'm not going to today. Although there is a little bit of a, you'll see in a minute that is a part of it.
Always be curious.
Always be curious would certainly apply to you, man, but I'm going to go a different route today. You've got the first two words right.
Always
be communicating for sure, because we always are, whether we realize it or not. So even non-verbally, we're communicating. And by the way, even your silence speaks. One thing I wish I could get everybody to understand is that your facial expressions, your countenance, it all speaks. We've talked about that in church before, but it happens in here, you know. It happens in here, and it happens in all the meetings that you're a part of. So that's good, but that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about always be connecting. Always be connecting. Who do you think has had more job titles than any other staff member who is still currently a staff member? Say it louder.
LB.
Say it again.
LB.
Say it louder.
LB.
Say it real loud.
LB.
Everybody say LB Skinner.
LB Skinner.
Has had more job titles than any other staff member. I won't take the time to list them all. I only have 2 hours. But man, he's been it all. But of all the job titles that he's had, you know, your assimilation pastors and your campus pastors and your associate campus pastors, my favorite title that LB has ever had, and I think we ought to bring it back, is Connections Pastor. I love that title. I mean, it's kind of a buzzword in the church, so we don't use it as much anymore. This man used to leave me voicemails in Shelby. And he would say, not what he wanted to talk to me about, but he would just say this, and Ray can affirm. Just want to connect. Hey, it's Larry. Just want to connect. And that would always bug me because I'm like, man, that's so broad. I don't know if you want me to do something for you. I don't know if you just want to ask me how are me and Holly getting along in our marriage. I don't know if you have bad news, good news. Just want to connect. But yet I think like that LB, and I could mention others of you as well, he does have a gift for connection.
Yes.
You know, it's a certain gift.
Yes.
I sent out a text message yesterday, and I told a few staff members I was going to preach on connection. And one said, do you mean connecting with other people? I said, no, not in that way, in a much, much bigger way than that. Because I'm coming to a conclusion after 10 years of leading a church that really everything that we do is about connection. I'm coming to a conclusion that any one of your job titles, if we were going to change it, could be changed to Connections Pastor. That is really the job of every church member. Not just church staff member, but every church member. Everything we do is about connection. I'm convinced, furthermore, that intelligence is the ability to make the right connections. Nothing more, nothing less. There are different types of intelligence, but any form of intelligence, any category of intelligence comes down to this: the ability to make the right connections. I'm convinced that all progress in humanity is based on the growing ability of people to make the right connections. Can I unpack this a little bit?
Yeah.
I told Chunks the other day, I don't want Staff Lab to be boring, but neither do I want it to just be a reprise of the weekend. I motivate you on the weekend. I try to help you practically in your life on the weekend. But in here, I'm trying to speak to that top 20%. I'm trying to speak to people who need to understand the substance of what's going to make this grow and make it multiply, because that's what you're in the room for. And I want to give you a little theological foundation for this, and then maybe just like a sociology kind of case study type thing, and then bring it home as much as I can. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul makes a connection, an unexpected connection. He says, instead speaking the truth in love, so there's a connection, and I'm going to make the case throughout this that what gets people's attention is when you give them an unexpected connection. Speaking the truth in love is often an unexpected connection because we tend to operate in either or. You either tell the truth or you're loving. And Paul's bringing two things together. It's a connection. Everybody say connection.
Connection.
He's making this connection between two things that we often separate, but we shouldn't. So he's saying, in order to mature, and you can read the context of Ephesians 4. It's awesome. That's the one where he talks about he gave some to be prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, graphic designers, all those different things that are in Ephesians 4. And he says that all of this is being brought together so that God's people be built up for works of service. And he says, when this happens, when we get the right connection, when we're connected like we should be connected, we will grow to become in every respect, everything in our lives being connected, not just that we're in this area of our life maturing, not just that we're spiritually maturing, not just that we're emotionally maturing, not just that our bodies look better because we're embracing fitness, but in every respect, it's a connection, it's an integration, it's a holistic approach. He said, in every respect, we'll become the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And let me make one important point before I go to verse 16. It's kind of hard for us to be connected as a body if we lose our connection to our head. As staff members, it's going to be kind of hard for us to connect others to a Christ that we're not abiding in. It's going to be kind of hard for us to connect others to a power that isn't flowing in our lives. And that's why the first thing always when you feel ineffective in ministry is to check your own personal connection with God. And it's amazing how complicated we try to make things, and sometimes it's as simple as a connection. I showed this to the CPs where a few months ago, me and Holly came home from church on a Sunday. And I had been preaching about inconvenience. And God is funny because he'll connect what you preach about to your life and see if you believe it. And it wasn't a big deal, but all of a sudden we heard this rushing water sound back in our bedroom somewhere. We're eating at the table. Only reason we heard it because kids weren't there. If they'd been there, we'd never heard it. But we heard this rushing water, like this, and we don't have any waterfalls in our bedroom, just for the record, okay? But we heard this rushing water coming through the ceiling and ran back to find this steady pour of water coming through the vent, the air conditioning heating vent in the ceiling. And this is the difference between a man and a woman, just general intelligence level and ability to make connections. I went and got a trash can to catch the water. Holly went upstairs to check it at the source. She turned off the source of the problem. I was just collecting the drops. And sometimes you're too much like me, where you're just bringing out buckets to try to deal with stuff that's happening, but don't go upstairs. Because when she went up, she turned off the water, and it ended up being massive damage, I think tens of thousands of dollars of damage, just from those few minutes that it had been dripping. But it was all traced back, not to a bad washing machine, not to a bad vent, not to, you know, there was nothing wrong with the floor that the water leaked through, that leaked through to the other floor, that leaked, I mean, it went everywhere, this water, it was unbelievable. Our house was ripped up for a couple weeks, if not months after this. But it was all because this little $1.29 guy that was supposed to hold the hose to the wall was too loose. And I used it to the CPs to say that sometimes it's a real simple connection that can cost you a lot in your life. Sometimes it's a real simple disconnect. And that's why you can never underestimate. I'm going to prove this if I have time at the end, where the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And the parts of the body that we think are weaker because they're hidden are the most indispensable. Never think that what you do doesn't have a big impact, because the washing machine was fine. The floors were fine. There was nothing wrong with any of the major equipment. It was something that cost $1.29 that wasn't clamped on tight enough. that created a lot of damage in our house. And in churches, a lot of times, a lot of damage is created because the connections aren't tight. And now the whole house is flooded, and the whole house has to be ripped apart, all because of a connection. So the next time you think about cheating something, leaving something undone, compromising something, you got to know the value of connections, especially in your walk with Christ, but in your connections with others, which we'll talk about. Verse 16, from him, that's the source, nothing wrong with him, the whole body joined and held together. What's that a picture of? Connection. The whole body held together, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I love it. And all through the scripture, you see the power of connection. A few examples, and you can take these and teach them if you'd like, is that David made powerful connections that made him successful in battle. Case in point. The same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. It's a connection. He's connecting his past victories to his current battle. He's connecting his past experience to his current challenge. And in making that connection, he was strengthened for the fight. And this is what will enable you to keep growing in your area, is if you can say, you know, I've never done this before, but I can take what I learned doing that and apply it to this. I can make the connection. If I can make the connection, I can rise above the challenge. Amen. Joseph had this ability to make connections. He said to his brothers, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What's that? It's an unexpected connection. It's the ability to make a different kind of connection, okay, between pain and purpose. Most people assume that pain and purpose are the opposite. Joseph saw a different connection. He said, no, the pain that I was experiencing was creating the opportunity for the purpose. The opportunity and the opposition were connected. And you'll have a greater perspective in your life if you can learn to make the connection between what you've been through that you wouldn't choose and where God is taking you. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He said, you've heard it spoken by the prophet Joel. And he starts to quote different things that the prophet Joel had predicted. But then he says a phrase that we really love around here, and you remember this, Aaron. We used to say it a lot at the senior center. He said, this is that, which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. What's he doing? He's connecting the promise of God, the prophecy, to their experience of it. He's saying, this is that. He's connecting what God spoke back then to what they're seeing right now. And I think that's one of the most important connections you can learn to make in your own life and as a leader, what God spoke and what you're now seeing. Because sometimes you can be staring at what God spoke and not even know that it happened. Because it's growing up before your own eyes. But we have the ability to make that connection. There are some poor connections too in the scripture. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, you know, the angel comes and speaks to him and says, you're mighty warrior, even though Gideon was in a wine press. That's an interesting connection, that a guy in hiding would be called a hero. And so God makes interesting connections about our lives. He tends to see us becoming something that we don't yet believe about ourselves. And the angel makes this connection. He says, I see your potential and I see your problem. It's no issue for me. He calls him a mighty warrior. But Gideon says, well, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? It's an incorrect connection. Their own disobedience had created their dysfunction. But he wanted to blame it on factors outside of his control. Mm-hmm. Job's friends came to ostensibly comfort him in his time of trouble. But they were no help to him because they made incorrect connections. Man, you must have done something horrible, Job. Have boils all over your nose and to have lost your family, to lost your children. Man, you better get right with God, because obviously it's something that you did that's producing where you are And God, at the end of the book of Job, goes into this whole thing where he's like, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? And God brings it together in the way that only he can. He says, be careful that you don't make the wrong connections. Life principle. When you make bad connections, you make wrong corrections. Let me move into that for a moment. When you make bad connections, when you connect one thing with another thing that really isn't connected, if you don't learn how to make godly connections and true connections and wise connections and insightful connections, if you don't learn how to do this, you'll connect the wrong things, then you'll correct the wrong things. You'll go through 5 different jobs before you understand that the people that you were working with were never the thing that was keeping you from your success. You can do that with marriages. You can do that, I mean, on every level. The best example I could think of, I was just thinking for God to show me an example, and he told me to talk about gluten. Anybody gluten-free in the house? That's great, John. Gluten-free, LD, that's great. Gluten-free. Gluten-free, make some noise. Somebody told me, I don't know, I didn't have time to research it, but they said it was a $4 to $5 billion industry now, the gluten-free industry. Gluten-free. Gluten-free is, it wasn't even, here's the interesting thing about it, it wasn't even really known about until just a relatively short time ago. I picked up this book in the airport coming back from Australia, I believe, where this girl, and I'm not recommending the book to you or anything, but I just wanted to see what she did with this title. The Opposite of Loneliness was her title. And it was this girl's essays, and she had died, but they had published some of her essays. Marina Keegan. In one of the chapters, she talked about her mom's obsession with gluten-free. And she said, you know, my mom was, early in my life, she discovered that I had celiac disease, and that's the autoimmune disease which makes you have an internal inflammatory reaction to gluten, which is the protein found in certain grains. But this was in the 80s, and gluten-free wasn't a thing. It wasn't a Hollywood thing. It wasn't a Dr. Oz thing. Nobody was talking about gluten-free. So the girl's mom, when she started losing all this weight and at 18 months old, she had to have a surgery because she says it's kind of gross, but she says that her stomach pushed into her chest, which led to malnutrition. And so the girl's starving to death, but no doctors can figure out why. So the girl, 18 months old now, she's going into doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor trying to find out what's wrong. Her mom, not satisfied with the answers that the doctors give, we don't know what's wrong with your daughter, goes into the best libraries in Boston, and the old school way, this is the 80s, the old school way, starts flipping through every medical book until she gets to the C's and finds celiac disease. Finds out about celiac disease, walks back into the hospital, tells the doctors, test her. They said, we don't even know much about this. Test her. Tested her, that's exactly what it was, and her health turned around. I share that to say this. When you care enough about something, you'll find the connection. If that's your child, you're not going to just let your child starve to death because some doctors told you, well, we can't figure out what's wrong. And I found out that when people really care about something, they don't just gather information about it. They dig until they find the right connection. And the girl said in her book, she said that her mom actually, they were watching a video of her first birthday party, a home video, when she was a teenager. And they showed, one of the videos had the girl eating her first birthday cake. And she looked over at her mom, and her mom was crying on the couch. She said, Mom, what's wrong? And the mom said, I was poisoning you. I was poisoning you right there with your Mickey Mouse candles. I was poisoning you. But I hadn't made the connection. You can't administer the cure if you don't make the connection. Now, we're in the business of helping spiritually sick people get healthy. And in order to bring the right cure, We got to make the right connections. And the level of your leadership is determined by the depth of your connections. Do I need to slow down? I feel like I'm so full of what I'm studying, I just want to spit it all out at once. What did I say, Ray? Something about the depth and the level. But I can prove it to you. I can prove it to you in so many ways. Okay. I read a book a couple years ago called Imagine, and it's about how creativity is born. It's a cool book. It went under some controversy, but one story I never forgot, and I want to get my details right. They talked about a guy who worked in an adhesive division. Let me find his name. Arthur Fry. He worked for a company called 3M. And one day in 1974, he attended a tech forum on adhesives, and he was watching this guy who was presenting this weak glue that he had developed. Okay, it could barely hold two pieces of paper together. Well, Arthur Fry happened to sing in a Presbyterian church in North St. Paul, Minnesota. And that Sunday, the preacher was preaching an unusually boring sermon, something none of you can relate to. And it said that while he was kind of dozing off in his mind, he had this idea because he was looking in his hymnal for the closing hymn because he sang in the choir. And he would put these little bookmarks in his hymnal to mark his pages, but they would always fall out when they got moved around the next week. And while he's sitting through the boring sermon looking for the invitation hymn, he remembered the boring seminar that he sat in earlier that week where the guy was showing about the weak glue that really had no purpose. And it came to him, wait a minute, I could use that glue, put it on a paper, and make a bookmark that would stick. So he went to his friends and he made up a little batch and he started handing them out. And because he had the opportunity, because he worked in a company that supported this kind of thing, and he had the resource to it. So he made some bookmarks and handed them out. But he noticed that nobody ever reordered any of them because they only needed them one time. And you can't sell a product if nobody needs to reorder it. But then he had an idea to write something down on it. And when he wrote something down on it and passed it on the front of a paper to a friend, the friend had to get a new one and write something down back. And I just told you the story of how the post-it note was born from an unexpected connection. All creativity is a matter of connections. And creativity isn't just for the people who are the smartest or who have the newest ideas, who have the most intelligence or the most information. I'm telling you, creativity is for the people who look for the best connections. You want to be more creative? Make better connections. You want to be more effective? Make better connections. You want your leadership to improve? You want to have more impact? Make better connections. When I teach preaching, What I really try to teach to people who say, okay, you know, what have you learned about sermons over the last 10 years that you've been preaching every week? I don't know that I'm ready to teach about preaching yet. I feel like I'm just finding my own voice in a lot of ways. But one thing I would say is that a great message has to have a great connection. Yes. And we might express that in different ways. One of the CPs was asking me the other day, how do you get the twist? I said, what are you talking about? He said, the Patterson twist. He said, you always have a twist in your message. I said, well, I don't look at it like a twist. That's not what my goal is because, you know, sometimes it might be like a, well, look what I spelled, or oh, look how the title, or oh. But all I'm really trying to do is create a new neural pathway. Yes. Not only in somebody's mind, but a new connection in their heart. So when I'm going to preach, now you apply this to the area where you work, but this is where I work. When I'm going to preach, what I'm looking for is two things that I know are both true, but I can't figure out how they work together yet. And when that moment of insight happens, we call it a light bulb or an aha. Only problem with that is it makes it sound like magic. It's not. It's the hard work of making an unexpected connection. An unexpected connection. The old businessman who said, everybody wants to ask me about luck, but truth is, the harder I work, the luckier I get. What's that? That's a connection. you want to think hard work and luck are two different things. I'm telling you that hard work creates opportunity. Yes. It's a connection. Yes. And all while I'm teaching right now, you should be making connections about things I'm not even saying. Yes. You should be connecting what I just said about my sermons to what you do in data management. Yes. You should be connecting what I just said about sermons to what you do in children's curriculum. You should be connecting this to fashion. You should, and that's really what's changed the most about my approach to sermon preparation, Brandon, is I don't do sermon preparation anymore. I live in a state of preparation. And that way, every commercial that comes on the TV, that's a potential connection to a truth in Scripture. They did a Mother's Day thing that you'll see this week. I don't know how many of you have seen it. It's awesome. It wasn't original. It was an interpretation of something that was seen. And when they made the connection between the way that we could execute it and the original idea, there's nothing new under the sun. We're not going to arrive at new levels by discovering new ideas, but by making new connections between ideas that are already there. And you can see it in so many different ways, this idea of connection, the power of connection. That's what I'm always looking for. How does this go with that? And we can get corrective in a moment, but I just want to give you four major headings to think about for yourself personally. And this is kind of what makes, to me, someone who is successfully creative or a successful contributor or somebody who is growing. Remember, my theory that I'm working off of is that all progress is a result of a correct connection. Gluten-free, there were people that were sick for decades, didn't know why, until we discovered the connection between what they ate and how they felt. It took me years of being married to Holly to realize the connections that drive marriage. The things that I could say to her that would build her up, the things that I said that tore her down, the way I was making her feel by little things that I said. I didn't know I was doing it. It's just that I needed to see the connection. And when you care enough about a relationship, you want to find, if you care enough about the church, you won't just be doing a job putting dots on the screen. You'll be helping make connections. It took me years to realize the connection between my physical fitness and the way I felt emotionally. I didn't realize it till one day somebody said about somebody that they felt comfortable in their own body when they got in shape. I thought, that's it. When I'm not in shape, I don't feel comfortable in my own body. When I don't feel comfortable in my own body, I react in ways that are irritated. When I eat a lot that I shouldn't eat, it doesn't make me feel better because I celebrated. It makes me feel worse. I feel good for 3 minutes and bad for 3 days. I made a connection that when I'm not doing these things right, when I don't have these disciplines slip. And you can really learn a lot about yourself from your connections. Connections, it's connections. That's what growth is. That's what intelligence is. That's what leadership is. That's what life is. Making the right connections. Let's look at four. Are you able to connect, first one, decisions to destiny? I bring it up because very few people ever connect the two. A lot of people do see their life as a series of random specks on a screen. And they make assumptions about destiny, that I'm supposed to be this way. Like the man who told me one time in a hospital, I was just never meant to have money. That's my destiny, he's saying. I talked to him a little bit, though, more about his decisions, how he would always empty out the savings account to go to Disney World every summer. Decisions interpreted as destiny. Never making the connection. And it works the other way too, because a lot of people will believe that God has a great destiny for them, but not figure out what are the decisions that are gonna get me to that destiny. I had to figure that out in being the pastor of a church. Just because God told me in my heart at age 16 that I could do this didn't mean that I would. There had to be decisions put in place about my friendships, had to be decisions put in place about my inputs. Had to be decisions put in place about what I was going to focus on and specialize in and what I was going to learn. I was memorizing Tony Evans sermons on cassette tapes while you were at a keg party. So don't laugh at me now because I'm 35.
Come on.
I was making decisions to support a destiny. I didn't always make the right decisions either. But, you know, having this idea of your destiny without connecting it to your decisions is kind of blaming God for things that he put within your reach, within your control. That's true of us as a church, too. We can have a great destiny to touch a lot of people, but without reverse engineering the decisions that lead to that destiny, well, you can have a real disparity. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think the people who get stuck on one side or the other, like maybe they just make a lot of decisions, but they never really tap into God about their destiny. They just kind of find themselves going through life, winning a series of different battles, but losing the war. But if they just have a sense of destiny, but don't figure out now what are the decisions and get around people that can help them see what are the decisions that will lead to this type of destiny. Either way, if you don't make the connection, you won't be able to make the contribution. Next one, please. Can you connect opportunities to objectives? This is where focus is so important. This is where we say we can do more by doing less. So I know I've said this a lot, so I won't belabor it, but you know, just because it's a good opportunity doesn't mean it's the right time. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it is right for me. And I preached to the pastors last week. We had the best time in Orlando preaching to the pastors and leadership conference. And one of the things that I really tried to get them to see is, like, what are you winning at? Yeah. I preached to the generation group last night, and I just did a whole thing about scorecards, kind of building off of goals. What I taught this weekend, I said, you know, some of us need to switch scorecards. We need to switch. We're winning in columns that won't really bring satisfaction. And you can be trying to win off of somebody else's scorecard. You can be winning in a sport you didn't even sign up to play. Like, who made this scorecard? Who says that's successful? So aligning opportunities with objectives is so important at this stage. Because what do we have a lot of right now as a church? Oh, opportunities for days. There's an extension site group in Antarctica, and they'd like to know if we come over there. Stephen Webb's already been over 3 times. It's like, and we talk about this, and I want you to know what we're talking about back behind closed doors. Where Josh comes in, and he's like, here's some extension site groups. And I have to ask the question, is this opportunity a step toward the objective that we have? Or else I'll just compile points on the wrong scoreboard. You got it. Next one. Can you make a connection between talent and team? Because I meet a lot of people who are gifted, but their ability to work with others is always the limitation on the expression of their gift. Help myself preach this seminar. I love it. Everybody say connect.
Connect.
Until you can take what you're good at doing and join it together with what's important for us to do, you will never be. I don't need somebody who can dance good if I'm trying to score a touchdown. Your touchdown dance didn't gain me any yards. So can you align your talent that you bring with the objectives of the team, with the personalities of the team? Can you bring people together? Like, if you're a leader, if you're responsible for leading something, your ability to connect people's talents, other people's talents, and put them in a team that can work together, that's what determines whether or not you have success and progress. You can have a group of talented people that make a terrible team. Or you can be the San Antonio Spurs, and you can be like, just, okay, it's not our individual talent. It's our team approach. And what we know how to do, what we've got to learn how to do, is get everybody. We might be two talent. If we get enough twos, we can do more than a few fives. last one is success and significance. And I thought Brad Starr was going to jump up last night when I said this, or maybe it was Jonathan, but one of them, because what I said was, you could build a series, you could write a book on this. I talked about the man who built the house on the rock, yeah. Matthew 7, yeah. And the man who built the house on the sand. Yeah. Yeah. And this is just a thought God gave me for those high school students. You know, it says, one built the house on the rock, rain came down, streams rose, winds blew, beat against that house, fell with a great crash. The other one stood. One took the words of Jesus, didn't do anything with them. One took the words, put them into practice. That's what made the difference. Here's what I said. Success is determined by what you build. Significance is determined by what you build on. And we don't want to be a church, or I don't want to be a person, and we don't want to be a family that just piles up individual successes without saying, what is the significance of all this? So the connections that we make for people are only as powerful as what we're connecting them to. What we're connecting them to. Always be connecting.